Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me today is actress Ayelet Zerur, who is one of the leads of AMC's new limited series Moonhaven, which is a doozy. It's a very deep, very complex show. I like it so far. And I am so happy that you are here because your character, Council Mighty Voss, is an enigma wrapped in a Rubik's Cube dipped in conspiracy sauce.
We will not respond.
There's every good sci-fi mystery has a conspiracy at it, and that's no secret, but other details are, so we will not dive into spoiler territory so people can check this show out for themselves. But first, tell me, what was it about the character Maite that drew your interest, your attention?
Well, first of all, it was instinctual because I actually I've been asked to read for a different role, which I refused and said, I only want to read for Mighty, because they let me read the pilot. Mm-hmm. And it was at the scene stage. So I read the scenes and I read Mighty and I was like, nah, I'm Mighty. And so I sent them proof that in a shape of an audition, and they said, great, well done, but can you also read the other part? So I had to go do the other part, and then they came back and said, actually, you write for the role.
Oh, that's awesome.
Based on instinct and just something that came oozing from the page for me, which is, when it's the right thing and when the right thing gets to you. But when I actually read the whole show, particularly 1 and 2, and then obviously the rest of them, slower, but I really loved the way that he unfolds the story for her, mm-hmm. which then later on becomes deeper in some sense and intriguing. And I also loved the way she talked. And I knew we're going to have some maybe pressure to let some of that speech be a little more, how should I put it, to calm the speech, but I really pushed to keep everything that was in as is, and I hope that we did the right thing, and I think people are going to slowly fall in love with the language because it is part of the culture. It's sort of melted together. And I think the way she speaks it was so unique and wise at the same time, naive. Just the juxtaposition within how she talks and how she presents herself. On one hand, she's learned, but she's inexperienced, seems like, in life, in human nature. She understands it, but she's a little inexperienced. She's wise, but she's naive. She's very meticulous with the gardening, but she's very, intuitive. So it's just really interesting black and white inside of one person.
Yeah, there's a level of complexity that I'm still unraveling in this series, and seeing how some of the characters' nature are by design. You have the people on Earth who are living in this polluted, toxic planet. They've been waiting 100 years for the technology on the colony on the moon, the engineered colony, to mature, I guess is the right word, so it can be brought back to Earth and use its experience of learning artificial intelligence called Io would come back to Earth, would be brought back to Earth, along with the people that it helped raise. And these people would, quote, save Earth from itself. And I'm like, wow, that's ambitious. And seeing how Maite and the other citizens of Moonhaven are this, they are more mature in terms of a, you know, the concept of living harmoniously with others in your environment. But there's also a childlike ignorance. It goes beyond naivete. It's truly fascinating how the people on Moonhaven are portraying this, because it's so compelling to see. It's like, you can't be that naive, can you? Yes, you can. And Maite is this, she's portraying this person who has the same level of enthusiastic idealism about what Moonhaven, the culture of Moonhaven, can bring back to Earth. And yet there's something in her eyes that says, she is a grifter. She's conning people. I don't know what her game is, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, so I think here's what I have to say about that, because I don't want to say too much, but I can say that I think you, when the writing is really good, you emanate the truth underneath. So people feel something, but then they put their translation to this. So the translation will change for you as you go along, but I think you described it beautifully.
Thank you. I love it when a show comes along that has enough of the right elements and the right level of character development at the beginning, and you see it grow as the show continues. I love that. I wish more shows could be like that. And what you have portrayed on the show so far, like as of this recording, two episodes have aired. The third one episodes airs tonight. It is so fascinating to me. And when you read the scripts, because right now season one, if there is more, I don't know, but it's a limited series, six episodes for this year. When you saw what was in the story, how excited were you for what was coming?
Oh, I love it. I love it. First, I loved it just for what it is. Then I loved it for where it's going. I'm even more excited if there would be a second season where it's going to go. hopefully, cross fingers. It was exactly what you're saying. It was a challenge, you know. It wasn't like, oh, let's play a good guy or a bad guy or a complex guy or a woman in this age or a woman who's a teacher or a woman who's a leader or a queen. And, you know, everybody has names for what she is. It was more for me finding the visceral sense of what she is, because I felt like that's what's going to deliver the reasons for what she's doing, how she's doing, and why people love her on the moon, why she's the key holder of IO, which is a really powerful place to be. But from a moon perspective, there's no class, so there's no importance to that role, aside from making sure mooners continue to exist. There's a line that was actually chopped, and I was so sad about that. But, you know, some scenes just had to be condensed. Mm-hmm. So one scene was condensed, and there was a beautiful line where Mighty says, we are forever dissatisfied with what we want, as a description of what humankind is. And it's exactly what Mighty is. She is saying always two things at the same time. She says we are forever dissatisfied with what we want, which is a good thing because we are always trying to be better, to learn. We are curious. We drive forward. But we also forever dissatisfied with what we want in the sense of greed. So which one are you?
Ooh.
Says that and hints to the character she says that to. And every line I've been given to use for Mighty, every line has that kind of expression, you know, where she says one thing, but it could be two things at the same time, philosophically speaking.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually disappointed that that was cut because there's several levels to that question depending on the frame of reference of the person being asked it, and that could have been a lot of fun to play with. Ooh.
And sometimes you never know. Editing a show and editing a show like that so complex. I try. But I also am really sad that this particular line was not left because I think it really described the show in some essence, like deepest essence. Like, what are you? Are you a destroyer or are you a maker?
Nice, very nice. Yeah, the mashup of philosophical and I guess spiritual influences to me is fascinating because you see little pieces taken from all sorts of areas. And for me, it's like, okay, they were trying to take the best parts of humanity as they knew it at the time to help teach this IO in order to help it make them better. And I'm like, it's hard to have a clear sense of purpose when too many outside influences have a hold of you. And I was wondering, were there anything that was in the scripts that was, I guess, enlightening for you as to the, I'm going to say, motivations and inspirations for not just Maite, but for the people she's leading?
Oh, there's many, 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 many. There's a few things I found to be carrying that. But one particular moment later on in the show, in one of the most crucial moments of the drama, Dom, who plays, I forgot the name of the character.
Arlo, is it?
That's Kadeem, Arlo. Oh, gosh. The Dominic's character dances with his son just when things go, when the shit hits the fan. And they do that. He explains to Bella that when they know that things are, you know, that the earth is burning, they take a pause, a moment, and they dance together to be ready for the next moment. Do you know what I mean? They really take a moment to be in the moment.
Yes.
but that's a cliche. But what's beautiful about it, and cliches are always right, I think. But what's really amazing in this is that what it says is that they accept the light and the darkness as part of how we live our lives. So there's no push. Do you see what I'm saying? There's no...
No absolutes, there's no absolute darkness, no absolute light, yeah.
Right, so there's no rejection. And because there's no rejection, it doesn't grow on you. Fear doesn't grow of you because you are accepting what's coming just as it is. So I think that, to me, really spoke a million times, you know, because there's no heaven, you know. Moonhaven is a sort of heaven, but it's not really a heaven. And people are aware of the sadness and the pain. It's sort of part of their life. They just know how to work with it. They don't suppress it. They work with it. They let it give it space, and then they move on from it. So they become people with less fear, and hence less of a dark drive to protect themselves because of that fear. And I think that's what we are here. we move a lot with fear. We work a lot with fear. I think we are, you know, even social media works on us that way, and commercials and what we want.
Yeah.
What we, you know, so we don't. Yeah, so you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. The people of Moonhaven are more, I guess the better word is Zen. They accept the good and the bad. They don't judge it. They try to embrace it. Whatever happens in that moment, they sit with it, and then they move on. They aren't attached to the outcome, and they just kind of keep on moving. And it, I don't know if that detachment is a good thing or a bad thing in the long run, but it's an admirable choice.
I don't think it's detachment. It's in the moment. So when they're sad, they're sad. When they are feeling the dread feel, mm-hmm. we feel the dread feel. Which is a visceral, deep, you know, burning fear. They feel it, but they also listen to it. They don't suppress it. So I think that's helping with, you know, the police work, which means helping people work with their emotions, which is so funny to me that police work is not to police, but actually to help people go through, you know, struggle.
Yeah, I think that's part of the thing that I'm still trying to figure out. Maybe like when I get deeper into the series, it'll make more sense. But the whole, here, take this pill to forget being hurt about what just happened. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That sort of goes against the embracing, you know?
Yeah. I get the wonder. But they do explain it. They say you feel. You have the memory, but you don't feel the sadness connected to it. And then, therefore, it becomes silly because it's just the understanding that we are in and out of this world somehow.
Mm.
Again, without the attachment to fear and to people. And also, you know, mooners can always go get a gadget and turn it on and see their loved one and have a conversation with them. I mean, I would take that in a heart.
Yeah, there's so many layers to this show so far, and I'm really enjoying it. And the mystery that is Maite is something I'm looking forward to continuing to discover.
Four and five, you'll get it.
awesome. So is there anything else that stuck out to you about this series that really, really said, I have to do this and I have to be her?
Oh my gosh. I know that when you play, you stay in the space of the character. I mean, I do. I don't know about other people, but I really do. And I knew that if I was going to stay in that space, I'll be in a beautiful space, because I think she's, you know, remarkable. And I have learned so much through working with the physical aspect of how she moves and speaks, but also with the language. And I made a point of spending my beautiful time in Ireland with this beautiful, by the way, the most beautiful people worked on this show, honestly, from actors to producers to hair and makeup and camera people. But I had so much time alone, walking in nature and listening to books as I was, you know, working on this. It gave me so much space that I think it came from how we worked on the show. And I think it also came from the writing and looking for the deep love for nature that I was wanting to really come from. Because how do you play someone who supposedly is about to, you know, or she believes she's she has, I'm trying to put things in words where I'm not giving away. How do you play someone who's in their perspective of saving their people? It's a big task.
Yes.
And yet to play it as if you're playing like a, you know, like a leader, like in broad strokes. You want to portray a person, yet a person from the moon. So it was interesting. It was just really intriguing and interesting and fun and different from anything I've done before.
Yeah, the scenery is lovely, but the costuming is absolutely distractingly gorgeous. The flow of the everyday wear, the elaborate complexities of some of the ceremonial and formal outfits they're wearing is, I think that a lot of attention to detail was paid to how those outfits moved with the people who were in it. And I thought, I'm like, oh, dude, that's so cool.
Yeah, and you know what? We had, I'll tell you a story. One day we had a meeting where we were invited to see all the gadgets. So we had a showroom with very, very, very long table with gadgets from the whole show, like the 6 episodes. And it was one of the most fun things I've ever done in my life. The nice. Gadgets and inventions and just the thought that was put into it, that going advanced as advanced as possible, but still keeping everything wood and cloth and natural. You know how they come into the spaceship and, you know, knock on the walls and they said, oh,
metals.
Iron. Oh. Yeah, that was one of my favorite moments because they don't have that. They have, you know, so that was fun. And also we had to dance, a bit of a singing going on. So yeah, it was very meticulous. And I think Peter Oko has done an amazing job orchestrating everything with everybody involved. And some people done like amazing. I think Philip Murphy was, if I'm not wrong, he's the design. And the directors had made some interesting choices as well, pushing the envelope a bit. So that was great.
Awesome. Now, are you working on anything new currently or coming up?
I'm actually working at being home.
Cool.
I write, so I'm trying to get my film going, and hopefully, cross fingers, if I get finance, I'll be so happy.
Nice.
That's really what I'm. But I'm home. Yeah.
Nice. Well, we will root for you in getting that written and funded. Can you say what genre it is, what the story is about?
Oh, it's a drama, it's a family drama, very small, tiny, tiny, tiny.
Cool. Well, we will keep an eye out for it. Ayelette, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And the show is Moonhaven, currently available on AMC and AMC Plus streaming. It's a 6-episode limited series that runs through August 4th. Check it out if you can. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi. Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction.
Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic, we've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's surveillance fatigue has you covered in every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families, to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
Hi, I'm Aaron Ashmore from Sci-Fi's Killjoys, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
Once again, the show is Moonhaven, currently airing on AMC and AMC Plus. Coming Thursday, August 4th, is the season one finale, so check it out if you can. And it is streaming on AMC Plus, so you can binge everything. I could have sworn I read an article that said Moonhaven had already been renewed for a season two and a season three, but apparently I am mistaken. So I will try to figure out what it was I read, and if they do end up renewing the show soon-ish, I will let folks know. But how about you? What sort of mysteries and conspiracies do you like filtered through your sci-fi? Call in, leave a voicemail, let me know. 602-635-6976, or shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter, @sliceofscifi, ask those questions over there, and get a whole lot more people involved in the discussions. You can also come to the website, sliceofscifi.com, and leave your thoughts in the discussion section for this episode. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher or through Podchaser, please think about leaving us a review. Help boost the signal for the show. Let folks know that you are enjoying it and maybe they should check it out for themselves. I'd like to thank everyone who is helping to support Slice of Sci-Fi and all of the other shows in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe, including the podcasts Writers After Dark, the Babylon podcast Charlie Jade, and actually more to come. Those websites, those podcasts stay online with your help, for which I am truly grateful. And if you're listening and you'd like to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Over there, you can pick a tier, any tier, and become eligible for perks. Every month, I pick a winning email address out of the hat, and that person gets to choose from the many review items I receive here at Slice of Sci-Fi that I can't keep, space reasons. So you could choose a book, a DVD, a Blu-ray, a 4K, out of the materials I have at hand as another way of me thanking you for your support. If you'd rather just donate every now and then, the links to use are over at Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/sliceofscifi, and at PayPal, paypal.me/sci-fi-summer. You can also support by purchasing items through the affiliate links over at sliceofscifi.net. We are currently building a curated list of movies, TV shows, books, graphic novels, things that are favorites of the contributors here and at the other sites and podcasts. Things that might fly under your radar, but we like it and we think you should give it a look-see. Maybe you'll like it too. And again, anything purchased through sliceofscifi.net would be through an affiliate link and add a few pennies of support back here as well. And that will do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.